Om Shanti. The series of Beyond Questions, question number 29, episode number 18. What is the feeling of insecurity? Why does it influence us, and how to stay free from this emotion? The question is, what is the feeling of insecurity? Why does it influence us, and how to stay away from this? Insecurity is, there is no self-confidence, person is diffident. Diffidence is lack of self-confidence, okay? But he or she is asking, what is this feeling of insecurity? Is it same as fear? One is fear, another is insecurity. We fear something and we feel sometimes insecure. Insecure means there is a probability of danger of harm. Now this harm could be at different levels. Maybe at the level of prestige. Somebody is going to harm or vilify me. Somebody is going to blame me, curse me, or whatever. So there is a feeling, one. Second, there is a feeling of becoming infamous. Because of that, if this thing is, particular thing is exposed, probably I will become infamous in this Brahmin family or in the world. So there is a feeling of insecurity. Other is, insecurity arises out of deep attachment. If a person is very much attached to another person, there would always be a feeling of losing that person. So that there would be feeling of insecurity. Consciousness of losing anything for that matter. It could be certain thing, particular thing, a very delicate thing. It could be object, thing, person, place, even place. It's a position. It could be anything. Anything, so fear of losing anything is insecurity. Or fear of getting exposed is insecurity. Then why does it influence us? Because it carries a very strong force. It carries a very strong force. We keep ourselves in a particular state and we want that people should believe that we are such and such. We do not want them to know the ultimate truth. Even probably that might not be known to us also, but we want people to know that ki we are very strong. For example, there is a person who is in Gyan, and he or she, yesterday in our OPD, one lady came, one couple. So her age is 42 and her daughter, 18-year-old. She committed suicide just 15 days back. She jumped from I think 8th or 9th floor in Mumbai and she died, her daughter. Now, this lady who came to me as a patient, she is a 42-year-old female and she is telling ki recently my daughter has died and we are in Gyan, so means like we know that soul is eternal. I am understanding that she is in so much sorrow, but she is trying to cover up. She is trying to dress up her wound, whatever wounds she has. But again, by what? By showing that she is in Gyan, so she is unaffected. But again she is saying, sometimes I feel like crying. I am not having sleep. I am having anxiety. I am remembering her. So this is the state of the mind where you are trying to show that you are unaffected. But in fact, you are totally affected. You are in the stage of grief. This is in psychology known as grief reaction. But what about my prestige of being in Gyan, of being a Brahmin? If somebody sees that I am a Brahmin and I am crying over the death, what the Brahmin family will say? But in fact, she is absolutely affected. She is struggling within. This is a state of utter struggle, utter crisis. She says, she knows, because she was suffering, her daughter was suffering from a very, very rare disease. And the daughter was always depressed, most of the times. But this mother is like, why I'm telling you this is, insecurity is, whatever prestige you have, whatever position you have in the society or in the world, you try to preserve it. You try to keep it as unhurt as possible. The moment somebody even scratches that, the feeling of insecurity arises. So it definitely influences. It influences us so deeply that person may have all psychological symptoms. Like one person is too much attached to another person. There is always a fear that that person, if he gets angry or if she gets angry and goes away, what will happen to me? He should not leave me, he should not depart from my life. There is a feeling of insecurity. And how to stay free from this emotion? First of all, you don't have to struggle with it, you have to understand it. The more you struggle, the more you see it as a vice, the more you see it as something, your enemy, a struggle starts. And the struggle goes on and on and on and on and on. Just as, it is the same as, though Baba says they are your enemy, but Baba has also said many different things in different murlis. Whether it is anger, if you directly try to fight with anger, it will never go. If you directly try to fight with lust, it will never go. If you directly try to fight with, you need to totally transform them, their nature. You need to come to a stage where this insecurity is not possible even if you want. You need to come to a such a intrepid, fearless stage where fear will not come even if you want. And the paradox and the irony of the situation is that all the Brahmins, we teach, we proclaim the eternity of the soul to the world. But we are the souls most afraid of diseases. We are the souls who are so much anxious about death. We don't want somebody to die. We want to leave every stone unturned to save that person. While the doctors tell you, please let him go. But the BK family feels, no, save him anyhow. We teach the world eternity of the soul. But on another hand, we are the ones so much attached to the body. Why is this so much insecurity? Don't we know that soul is eternal and not the body? Thus thou art and to thus thou returnest. There is a poem by H.W. Longfellow where he says, dust thou art and to dust thou returnest. This body is a dust and to dust it will go back. And it is not said of the soul, he said in the same poem. But it is said of the body. Why so much preoccupation or why so much anxiety and why so much efforts just to preserve this body? So that also creates a feeling of insecurity. Whenever there is a feeling of loss, a mother has the feeling of insecurity that her son may get lost. It means you are seeing that person as your son. Khalil Gibran has written in his poem, your children are not your children. They are gift of God from God to you. Don't consider them your children. The moment you start thinking that they are he is my son, he is my child, you develop an unknown attachment to them. And there is always a fear of losing them then. Why don't you think that that is a soul which has come in this our family? And also why you want to teach him? Probably that soul has come in the family to teach you something. We always think that we need to teach children. Whilst that soul must have come in your family to teach you a lesson of life, which probably you have forgotten. So, any attachment will create insecurity. Any fear will create insecurity. Anything. So the best thing to be done is emotional detachment. Emotional detachment. Mental detachment. Practicing and seeing death. Understanding the truth of life. This revolution is not about reading Murli or relating Murli to others. This is the Bodh Kranti. This is the Kranti of understanding. It is not about reading Murli, it is not about relating Murli, it is not about doing Seva. What we call, this Kranti is not of Sunna Sunana, this is a Bodh Kranti. Bodh Kranti is a revolution of understanding. Understanding life as it is. Without trying to put your views into it. See, as it is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So, to get rid of this emotion, first of all, understand this drama, understand souls as actors, and see their roles in a stage of detachment. And if you are too much attached to anything, try to literally detach yourself. Because in that detachment lies your your kalyan, your benefit and his benefit. One. Second. Question number 38. I lack the power of tolerance. I remember Baba a lot. I request Baba every day to bestow the power of silence upon me, but he doesn't. How should I convince him to bestow this power upon me? So two things the person has asked. Power of tolerance and power of silence. You don't have to ask anything. You don't have to take that from anyone, even God for that matter. All these are inherent in the soul. Everything is there. Only thing is you have to reveal it. You have to just unearth it. You remember a Baba, but as they say, two types of bhakti. One is sakam, one is nishkam. To remember God with lot of expectations or desires, that is a lower form of bhakti. But to remember him without any desire, to give or not to give, that is his choice. He will give, he may not give. But we are not remembering him because I will remember. So that becomes a sort of what is known as contract, a business. Here also we start, our business mind starts working. It's not the question of business. We don't ask him for anything. Everything will come. You just go and stand in the rain. Automatically rain will come and you will get wet. Rather than, Vivekananda has said somewhere, what is the habit of man? Today's man, what he does is, he keeps his hand on his eyes and he's shouting at the top of his lungs, give me darkness, give me light, give me light, give me light. Whilst he himself is keeping his hand on his eyes, making himself blindfold, and is shouting, screaming, shrieking, where is light, where is light, give me light, give me light, oh God, give me light. He's shouting. Remove your hands from your eyes. And the light is there. It's already there. In the similar manner, the rain of tolerance, the rain of silence is already getting poured from that sky of God. So, you just have to go and stand there. You don't have to request anything. Automatically it will come. Only thing is that, the moment you become more and more soul conscious, all the powers of the soul would follow. You don't have to, this is now today I will develop the power of tolerance. Tomorrow this, then next day this, then next day this. As a practice it is okay, but otherwise all power, there is no many power, there is only one power. Just as there is only one electricity. So we talk about eight powers, but there are no eight powers. There is always one godly power. Only one power. There are no eight. Now one electricity, when it goes through light, it becomes when it goes to tube light, it becomes light. When it goes to fan, it becomes fan and it gives you air. And definitely when you need fan, tube light may not work. Light you don't want. In the similar manner, there is only one Ishwariya or godly power. But it is manifested, Baba says, these are the eight powers. But in fact, they are not eight. Some people say 84, some people say 64, some 60, 108. You can go on and make the list, n number of list. But in fact, there is only one power. That one power is manifested in many ways. So, whether it is a power of tolerance, whether it is a power to withdraw, whether it is a power to cooperate, whether it is power to accommodate, whether it is power to judge, to discern, to pack up, all the eight powers, whatever we talk of. All those eight powers. There are no eight, there is one. Just as electricity. But yes, they will manifest in different ways. And when you need one, you need that only. When you need power of tolerance, you need power of tolerance only. There are so many murlis on that. That time power of accommodation may not help you. When you want to withdraw, you want to withdraw. That time power to cooperate may not help. But always remember, there is only one power. So now this one power, how to inculcate it, how to imbibe it. This imbibition of the power will occur by becoming more and more soul conscious. You try to depart from this body and become, come towards soul. automatically when you become soul conscious, at the same time all powers will come. Powers, soul is not going to borrow power from anybody. Already everything is there. The entire process of spirituality is not to take anything from somewhere. It's to realize what is there already. The entire process of spirituality is to manifest the divinity which is already there. Again, Vivekananda has said somewhere, he has given definition of education and definition of spirituality, religion. Religion is manifestation of divinity already in man. You don't have to borrow divinity from anybody. Religion is manifestation of divinity which is already in man. And education is manifestation of perfection already in man. School, colleges, universities. This cannot make you educated. At the most, they can turn you into a parrot. That's it. But that is not education. Education is manifestation of the perfection. And perfection you don't derive, you don't extract cool from other places. It is already there. Only thing is that remove the dirt. Only thing is that remove the dirt. Whatever the covering. Gold is already there. The gold is here. But it is covered. Yesterday Sakar Murli Baba talked about three types of alloy. Soul in the golden age was very pure, nirvikari. Then alloy of silver came. Then alloy of copper came. Then alloy of iron came. These are the alloys. Remove the alloy. And gold is already there. It's not that you borrow gold or take gold or steal gold or ask for gold from somewhere. It is already there. Only thing is that new elements have come, new alloys have come. Yesterday I was thinking, what is silver alloy? As per Gyan. What is copper alloy? As per Gyan. And what is iron alloy? As per Gyan. This is a point of journey. Yesterday's Murli Baba has said this. This was the state and these three things came. So what is this, what is this and what is that? Again in yesterday's Murli there was a one word, Sadgati. I was just contemplating on this word. Baba said, all the devotees, they ask for Sadgati. But I personally, I have never seen any devotee asking for Sadgati. Probably these are very high class devotees who ask for Sadgati. In today's world, who ask for Sadgati? People have no business of Sadgati. They don't want liberation, deliverance at all. They don't want all these things. They have asked for worldly things. Rare you will find any devotee who is asking, oh God, free me. Very rare. They ask for all the worldly nonsensical things. So, again, back to this. So, the moment you are soul conscious, all powers will come. And there is one power, not many. So, the very question, power of silence, power of tolerance, power of this, power of that. How should I convince him? You don't have to convince him. Even if you try to convince him, he is not going to. Baba said, this is study. He will not have that nepotism, partiality here. He doesn't favor favoritism. He is not that way. He has said, this is the knowledge, you imbibe it. Number var, number wise, that's the word he used. So Shraddhaven, the homework for you is, you may not be here, but you do it. Number var. Just one word Baba has used for what things? What are the different, at least 50 different things or things for which Baba has used the word number var. For example, one example is Purusharth. So in the similar manner, what are the different places where Baba has used the word number var? This is a word which is nowhere found in Hindi or English literature anywhere in the world. For this word to be translated in English, a new word has been coined by our translators, number wise. Otherwise, there is no such English word as number wise, and there is no such Hindi word as number var in any of the Hindi literature across the world. So, this is a very significant and very important word. There can be a separate class only on this word, number var. What is number var? And why he is using this? Everything he has said number var. Everything. this was in yesterday's only three different topics of journey. So again, the answer, I think that answers the question, to come more and more close to soul and go little away from body. This is probably the soul is too much near body. That is why such questions of devotion. This is reflecting devotion. To ask, to convince, give me. Baba said, I will not, it is already there. You check your purse. I have given you all the powers. Om Shanti.